This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to In the News with me, Anmita Bansal. Today is November 1st, 2019, and I'll be giving you all the latest updates from India and around the world. Let's begin with, media reports suggest Bajaj Finance will carry out a QIP. To discuss more on this, I have with me Money Control Siddesh Raut. Hi Siddesh, welcome to the show.
Hi Anmita, thank you for having me here.
Siddesh, can you please share more details on this?
So media reports are saying that Bajaj Finance will carry out a qualified institutional placement or a QIP. It's expected to take place next week.
Right.
The size of the QIP is expected to be around 8,500 crore rupees. And the price band is expected to be anywhere between 3,810 to 3,900 rupees per share.
Siddesh, can you please tell our listeners what exactly QIP is?
So QIP is a very quick way for listed companies to raise capitals in the markets.
Right.
It's a very specific instrument related to the Indian bourses. And using the QIP, you can raise this money by offering shares to certain shareholders who are qualified institutional buyers.
Okay.
And the difference between this and any other way to raise money on the equity markets is the amount of time. You do not need a lot of clearances from the regulators and other institutions as compared to other methods of raising funds.
So does it mean it's a good news for shareholders?
Yes, for shareholders, and otherwise it's definitely big news. This is because Bajaj Finance has been doing very well in its Q2 FY20 earnings, basically the earnings from the last quarter.
Right.
We saw it had a wonderful innings. Its net profit grew 63% year on year, just because it's been doing good on its loan growing exercise. It's got more robust growth.
Right.
Its margins have been better, and it's also controlled its expenses. This is very important because there have been a lot of macro headwinds, such as, you know, slowing growth, tight liquidity, and rising competition. And Bajaj Finance, despite all these odds, has managed to post such healthy growth. It's also a well-known blue chip of the Indian stock markets. So, you know, this is basically an indicator of another virtuous cycle of growth. And that is why people are very excited, or ought to be very excited about.
Right. Moving on to Delhi, schools have been shut as Delhi chokes. Siddesh, can you please tell us the situation in the capital?
So according to the Environment Pollution Prevention and Control Authority, it is severe plus, and this is the highest possible rating for pollution categories. That means it's a really bad situation out there.
Right.
And as you mentioned, that schools have been shut on this account.
So is the government taking any particular measures to control the situation?
Yeah, definitely the government. But aside from that, there's been a Supreme Court mandated panel has declared a public health emergency in the Delhi NCR region. So this means that all kind of construction activities are not going to take place in this region up until 5th of November, which is a Tuesday. And earlier, the restriction on construction was just for the evening time. But now it's become a blanket ban up until the 5th of November.
Right.
Bursting of firecrackers have also been banned. And the government of Delhi has also taken specific steps like closing of schools till the 5th of November.
Right.
And Delhi's Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal has also called out against burning garbage in the city. He's also stated that there's a helpline for this if anyone has been spotted.
What is the role of stubble burning in all of this?
So stubble burning has, according to NASA's studies, it's basically taken all these aerials of the Delhi NCR region, and it stated that approximately 40% of the current situation in Delhi can be attributed to the stubble burning process. The Ministry of Earth Sciences Air Quality Monitor, which is SAFAR, says that it is approximately 27%. So anywhere between 27% to 40% can be attributed to stubble burning.
Can you please tell us, why does stubble burning persist?
So, stubble burning is a very particular activity for agriculturists. Farmers around this time of the year are done harvesting their paddy crop.
Right.
And that leaves a lot of hay and husks, which is basically the stubble that is in question. And they have to prepare their crop for the next sowing. The quickest way to do that is to take all of this hay and all of the straw that gets that comes out from the harvesting and burn it. Okay, it is a much more cheaper and much more quicker method as compared to using an environment friendly thing, which is using machines to dispose of this stubble. And machines are obviously a lot more expensive. Farmers say, according to reports, that it takes about 5 days to clear the stubble, whereas where you burn the stubble, it just gets cleared out through the night.
So besides machines, is there any other alternative, recyclable alternative?
Well, in fact, that is the main contention of the farmers of Punjab and Haryana. They say that if you present us with a more practical, in terms of cost and time, an alternative that meets these two criteria, we are more than happy to carry this out. But aside from that, you know, they have also their priorities in terms of moving on to the next sowing cycle.
Right.
So unless another alternate comes forward, farmers will continue to carry out this stubble burning exercise.
Right. We really hope that we find a quick solution to this. Thank you so much, Siddesh, for all this information.
Thank you, Amrita.
Well, moving on further, German Chancellor Angela Merkel is on a two-day visit to India. She's already met Prime Minister Modi. And to give us some inside scoop on this, I have with me Money Control's Shraddha Sharma. Hi Shraddha, welcome to the show.
Hi Anvita.
So Shraddha, can you please tell us what is her schedule like?
So the German Chancellor was actually received by an official from the Prime Minister's office on 31st October evening.
Right.
And she's here along with like a 15-member delegation.
Right.
The main reason for her visit is that she will co-chair the 5th Intergovernmental Consultations or IGC with PM Modi.
Right.
So on the like the first day of her visit in the morning, it was mostly ceremonial. She visited the Rashtrapati Bhavan.
Mm-hmm.
And later she visited the Rajghat to pay tributes to Mahatma Gandhi.
Hmm.
Later in the day, the IGC took place where she met Prime Minister Modi. What we know about IGC is basically 15 memorandum of understandings, 5 joint declarations of intent were signed.
Right.
So it was already expected that, you know, there'll be around 20 agreements, bilateral agreements between India and Germany.
Right.
Along with that, 11 pact between India and Germany in fields of, you know, space, civil aviation, maritime technology, medicine and education, as media reports suggest, were, you know, signed. Along with that, there were other fields that included, you know, urban mobility, research, development, about artificial intelligence.
Right.
So there were like, you know, multiple topics that were discussed on. The Prime Minister spoke about the technological partnership with Germany in terms of, you know, artificial intelligence and cybersecurity, to which the Chancellor said that we'll be happy to engage in these big infrastructural plans that India is envisaging.
Right.
After that, Merkel also pointed out that India and Germany are very close. And in terms of that, the PM was also happy about Germany's strong support at international forums. So this is what came out of the press discussions.
Right.
So this happens to be the 5th meeting, like between the leaders within a year.
Right.
And it is actually Merkel's 4th visit to India overall.
Hmm.
So tomorrow she is scheduled to meet the business delegates, followed by a visit to Manesar Gurgaon, a corporate called the Continental Automotive Components India Private Limited. Interestingly, she is also scheduled to visit the Dwarka metro station before flying back to Germany. And from today, we will get to know after she meets the president, Kovind. So there's a meeting scheduled today as well.
Right. And Shraddha, what exactly is the purpose of the meeting?
So basically, it is bilateral relations between India and Germany, firstly. Second, there was also discussion that if the two leaders will discuss the Kashmir situation also as part of, you know, many discussions that they'll be having around environment and climate, sustainability, will this be also like one of the discussions? To which German envoy to India, Walter J. Linder, before had, you know, commented and said that Germany, the stand of Germany is consistent with that of European Union.
Right.
So European Union basically is talking about, you know, peaceful talks and solving it in a way that, you know, benefits the people of Kashmir.
Right.
So that was that. We don't know about the Kashmir discussions as of now, if they have actually discussed and come out at a solution yet. But they agree that it's an internal matter and the matter will be solved within India.
Also, Shraddha, among all the 20 agreements, what are the key topics that have already been agreed on?
So, as we spoke about, there'll be around 20 agreements that the two countries will discuss on. That'll be broadly based on the economy, the free trade agreements between India and Germany, you know, stands on terrorism in a way and extremism, skill development, sustainability and climate. Apart from that, you know, PACs are based on space, civil aviation, maritime technology, medicine and education.
Right. Looking for some constructive bilateral talks with Germany? Well, moving on, Twitter is all set to inform Indian political parties and leaders about the ad ban decision effective November 22nd. Shraddha, what are the key details on this? What's with this new mandate?
So it's a very interesting discussion that we can have on this.
Right.
Let me just give you a little bit of background why this situation came. So basically, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey had announced in a tweet that, you know, Twitter will stop globally political advertisements.
Right.
So, of course, then globally it will come to India as well eventually. But it came too soon that from November 22nd, it will actually stop.
Right.
You know, he gave many reasons. One of them was that the message and the reach should be earned and, you know, not bought.
Right. Absolutely.
And internet is just too powerful an influence to actually affect something that change something that affects millions of lives. So this announcement comes soon after Mark Zuckerberg was grilled at the Congress by the Congress members on, you know, multiple topics like Libra, that is Facebook's cryptocurrency, on Cambridge Analytica impacting election results. So did you see that video that went viral with Congresswoman Alexandria Cortex? She was, you know, grilling the CEO, asking questions that, you know, will you censor, you know, political posts? And will there be a threshold to fact check?
Yes.
So it was like a very interesting video to watch. So after the video, what, you know, Facebook's stand actually looks like is that they will not really be censoring any political speech, except for when, you know, it extremely violates the community guidelines, you know, in terms of hate speech or violence and all of that. But it has to be, you know, an extreme case. Otherwise, there is no moderation on Facebook, on, you know, ads as such. So Twitter is stopping ads, but it really doesn't impact its financials in any way.
Right. How do they manage to do that?
So basically, what reports are suggesting, it's a very small amount that, you know, is from the political ads. That's around 2% of the $40 million annual revenue that Twitter makes. So Twitter will not really be impacted by it.
Right.
Largely, all the political advertisements are on Facebook and Google. So Google might be making and Facebook might be making, you know, more revenue out of it.
Right.
So this will put pressure on Facebook because, you know, we live in a time when, you know, there was a lot of talks about fake news, paid news, internet propaganda,
right,
and all of these things affecting social media and digital companies in a way that, and Facebook is not very, doesn't have a very good reputation of maintaining privacy after Cambridge Analytica scan.
Right.
So in a way it puts a moral pressure, so it's a pressure of principle more than revenue, but which will affect, which will impact the Facebook revenue. So it was a smart move by Twitter because, you know, it came at a good time when, you know, Facebook was already under surveillance. Coming to India, in the coming week, Twitter has said that they will personally communicate this to the political party and their leaders that, you know, the decision has been taken to stop political ads. Because, you know, Twitter feels there is a long-standing relationship between the political parties and these leaders, and they do not, of course, Twitter doesn't want them to abandon the platform altogether.
Right.
Because a lot of traffic actually comes from political commentary.
Right.
So they want them to, you know, have a good discussion on Twitter about politics, might not promote after the ban any political party as such, but the discussion can go on.
Right.
And the decision will come into effect from November 22nd is what we know.
Right. Looking forward for some positive change on social media with respect to politics for sure. Thank you so much, Shraddha, for all that information.
Thank you, Anvita, for having me.
Well, up next, I have with me Money Control's Jerome Anthony, who will be talking about the latest jobs data. Hi, Jerome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Anvita. Good to be back.
Jerome, quite a gloomy picture as far as employment rates are concerned. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Sure, Anvita. Data released by the Center for Monitoring Indian Economy, shows quite a gloomy picture. India's unemployment rate rose to a three-year high of 8.48% in October.
Right.
Now, the thing is, this was up from 7.2% in September, according to the data.
Right.
So unemployment rate here for the month is highest since August 2016, reflecting an overall economic downturn in the country. Now the thing is, this unemployment rate in September was 7.16%, while it was 8.19% in August. The last time the unemployment rate was this high was in August 2016, when it was 9.59%. So I'm giving you these precise point percentage rates because this is a major difference. So I'll give you an example. Unemployment in India increased by 25 lakh between May and September 2019.
Right.
The CMIE data says.
Okay.
As per the data, an estimated 40.49 crore people were employed in India during May and August 2019, compared to 40.24 crore people employed during these months a year ago.
Okay.
So this translates to roughly 25 lakh additional jobs, indicating a healthy sign, because during the same period in the last 2 years, unemployment had fallen.
Jerome, what impact would this have on common man?
Sure, Anvita. So if labor continues to face rising unemployment rates and poor employment opportunities, you know, the common man would start or would get discouraged of entering the labor market. A lot of projects will get stalled. It will negatively impact the entire economy.
Right. Also, Jerome, output of 8 core infrastructure industries have contracted in September. This also indicates severe economic slowdown.
Yes, Anvita, quite a gloomy picture there as well. So, output of 8 core infrastructure industries contracted by 5.2% in September. This is the lowest in 10 years. As many as 7 of these 8 core industries saw contraction in output in September. So basically, coal production fell steeply by 20%, crude oil by 5%, natural gas by 4%, almost 5%, and refinery products, cement, steel, and electricity output too declined. So that's a gloomy picture as well. The only infrastructure segment to post growth in September was fertilizers, which increased by 5.4% year on year. So the core sector had expanded by 4.3% in September 2018. So India Ratings and Research has said that such low growth in core sector industries has not been witnessed so far in either the 2011-2012 base or the 2004-05 base series. I'm just quoting the India Ratings research, and I quote, "This clearly indicates the severity of the ongoing industrial slowdown."
Right.
So this basically says that yes, there is a slowdown and the performance of the economy is quite dismal.
Well, we've seen the government taking few steps to curb the slowdown and boost the economic growth, and RBI has been reducing rates. Do you think this will improve the situation?
Good question, Anvita. In fact, I was talking to our editor Santosh Nair some time back, and he said the measures, this is what experts believe, that the measures taken by the government would not have an immediate impact. It's going to take a few quarters, or it's going to take some time for a turnaround to happen in the economy.
Right. We just hope that the turnaround is as early as possible. Thank you so much, Jerome, for all that information.
Pleasure.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the Great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as Rs. 289 for a year. Use code Diwali. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer, which is available on Android and web, ends on November 7th. Well, with that, it's a wrap on this edition of In The News. In case if you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you for listening.